Think of how many have come to know the Lord, how many have backslidden and never returned to the Lord. And if you return to the Lord when you're backslidden, you always come back with what? With condemnation and guilt. And yet God will forgive you. If you really repent and you return to the Lord, He'll reuse you. Because He's a God of love and forgiveness. But you're going to reap to your sin.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. In 50 years of ministry, Raul has seen many people turn their backs on God, but he's also seen that all who repent will experience God's forgiveness. For a free DVD sharing Raul's testimony of finding mercy and restoration through Christ, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Thanks for joining us today for Raul's continuing study of Proverbs and its insights for walking in God's perfect leading. You'll see that no matter what trials or testing you might be facing, the Lord can guide you through when you seek His counsel. You'll also be shown today the importance of fully committing to holiness and obedience, not only to show your love for the Lord, but also to show others God's wisdom at work in your life. Here's Raul Reese now with part two of the lesson from Proverbs chapter 2.
Verse 8, He guards, notice, the paths of justice, and notice, and He preserves the way of His saints. Isn't that cool? What He's saying here is that the saint escapes pain, and what? And bitterness that sin has brought, and that's the reason that we go through trials, so that we can look up to Jesus, and we can pray by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. Trials are not only making us complete in Him, but trials and testings that we have in our lives is because God wants to make you a better citizen of the kingdom of God. And by the way, if He gives you a trial and you fail the test, you got to retake the test. Remember that. You can't go around it. You got to face it face to face, and it comes through obedience. That's the only way you can pass the test. And then He says in verse 8, He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. I love that. That here God is protecting who? His saints. He protects you and He protects me. Then in verse 9 He says, then you will what? Understand righteousness. What is that? What is right, literally. And justice means just. And equity means fairness. And every good path, I love that. Every good path here, it's a lifestyle that not only we are regularly living as He's leading us, and He gives us direction morally how to live as a child of God when we pursue after Him and we get to know Him. Then He says this in verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to what? Your soul. Wow. Amazing. Amazing how Solomon has such wisdom and knowledge to write these proverbs. You ever try to write a proverb? It's crazy. People can rhyme things, but proverbs are so hard to write. He wrote 3,000 of them. 3,000. Talk to a writer. I'm not a writer, but talk to a writer. It's hard. And what's incredible is the way he writes with all of his heart as he's walking with God at this particular time. And he's one of the wisest persons in the whole world. People are coming from everywhere. Even the Queen of Sheba comes and she says, I came because I heard, but until I came here, man, I cannot believe that it's true. I cannot believe that it's true. You are a wise person. What they told me was just half what I saw. Imagine that. People watching our lives. Then again, verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So here, the word pleasant that is used here in the Hebrew, it describes a quality that attracts one an object. So knowledge is attractive and what? And it's good for people to see that. Good for people to see that. Then in verse 11, to 22, the protection of wisdom from immoral people. Immoral people, watch what he says. Discretion, that is what? Wisdom, the ability to make wise decisions, literally, will preserve you. Notice that. Understanding will keep you. With what? To deliver you from the way of evil and from the men who speaks perverse things. Notice that. Partnership with evil people. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 6:14? This chapter 7, verse 1. Be you not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. In business and in courtship and all those things. If you want to stay out of trouble. Seriously. I've had so many people come to me and say, I'm in partnership with this guy, but he's not a Christian. Why do you have to say, be you not unequally yoked together? That's what the Bible says. Oh, but the reason that way is because he's going to come to the Lord. Are you God? You don't know that. He may do it just to keep him business. And then you know what happens? They come in 6 months later, a year later, and they'll say, you know what happened? This guy ripped me off. And if you are in business and you're a Christian, you should never cheat on your taxes with the government. But Jesus said, you pay God what belongs to God and you pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's what the Bible says. Because you guys are all Christians here, you need to pay your taxes. You need to give God what belongs to God because one day you're going to stand before God. You will be judged. Honesty, integrity, credibility, you see? Look what else he says. Verse 12. To deliver you again from the way of evil, from the men who speak perverse things. And then he says, from those who leave the path of what? Righteousness. The right path. Uprightness. To walk in the ways of darkness. Wow. Notice what he's saying here. The wicked, they what? They work on pleasure and they pervert the way they're walking. Their path is crooked. It's not straight. And then at the same time, look what it says in verse 14. Who rejoice in doing evil. They're not sorry. They're not repentant. They love it. Wicked people love what they do. Otherwise, they would change. They love it. He who rejoices in doing evil and delights in the perversity of the wicked. Notice that. Whose ways are crooked. And who are devious in their paths. So here, he's given us a little bit of insight. Because the delight that he's talking about here is doing what's morally what? Morally evil. Morally evil. And then, when he says whose ways are crooked, he's talking about or describing the perverted ways of using the way evil people use those paths to enrich themselves, to commit crimes, to do what is not right. Like cheating and hiding from the government or whatever it is they're doing. And then he says in verse 16, to deliver you, notice, to deliver you from what? To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So in verse 15 he says, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their path. And then he gets into the woman immediately. This is where he starts. He says, to deliver you from the immoral woman. That's a whorish woman. I think that Paul tells us really cool in the book of 1 Timothy, and he talks about modesty. In the hippie days, the girls would not wear any bras. Bottom line. I mean, that's the way it was. Chuck, when he got up to teach the word of God, he taught about modesty and he taught the way it was. But you know what happens? It's so cool because most of the hippies and most of the people, when they came to Christ, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit convicted us. Convicted us as we started reading through the word of God, studying. Nobody had to tell us that you have to cut your hair or you got to do this, or you got to do that. No, nobody told us that. One time the hippies in the little chapel, the elders got so upset because they just put new carpet in and the pews were there. And the hippies would come in sandals. Some would come in bare feet with their long hair, their beards. And they would put their actual toes in the communion cups, you know, in the where the cup goes. They would be putting their toes there, kind of playing around. And the elders went to Chuck and said, Chuck, man, we just put in brand new carpet and the pews. And these guys are coming with filthy, filthy feet. and it looked dirty. And Chuck said, if that's going to offend us, let's take the carpet out. I mean, if you see something like that, you pray. You pray that God will speak to that person's heart. And as they're sitting here going through the word of God, what's God going to do? He's going to what? Convict them of sin. If somebody is dressing up to be looked at and to bring attention to themselves, listen, God knows and God's going to deal with them. God's going to deal with them. And so if you're a Christian woman or a Christian man, then we should what? We should dress modestly, not bringing attention to ourselves or making people stumble. And it's incredible because God wants us to be modestly dressing in appearance, but never to be critical or misjudging people. Misjudging people. So we're going to get more of this, so let's move on here. About this woman, here we go. Who forsakes the companion of her youth, which means when she was married. She's unfaithful to her husband. You think of how many men and women are unfaithful to one another. But when you come to Christ, the Bible says what? All things become brand new. And as you study the word of God, too much is given, much more will be required. And think about this. If you're messing around at the office or wherever you may be, at the gym, wherever it may be, then what's going to happen when you get found out, because God will expose it sooner or later, and you have a jealous husband, guess what's going to happen to you? The Proverbs will tell us in a moment, he'll kill you. You'll be reaping what you sowed. And it's really important that if that happens in your marriage, it's important that as a child of God, when that happens and your wife or husband confesses to you, you have to have the heart of what? To be able to forgive too. But if he keeps or she keeps doing it over, then I would seek counsel from God. There's a problem. Here, she forsakes the companion of her youth, and check this out, and forgets the covenant with her God. The covenant of her God. Here is a reference to the Ten Commandments, and it's a reference also to Exodus 20:14, the Ten Commandments. And then also, it is to Malachi chapter 2:14. The marriage vow that God has given to us. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 33. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And then Matthew 19, if you want to read that too. It's really important that you understand that God hates divorce. He hates divorce. We'll get to that more. God hates divorce. He says the person that commits the act as a Christian has literally the power to forgive and stay in that marriage. Because it's the only sin that God speaks about divorcing somebody. It's if the person has been unfaithful to the wife or the husband to the wife. And if they want to forgive them, they can. And if they don't really want to, then they can what? They can divorce. And they can only get remarried in the Lord, but the other person's in trouble. We'll get to that more later on. It's heavy stuff. Marriage is sacred by God between male and female. And yet marriage vows today are not really honored by a lot of people. Think of how many people come to Calvary Chapel and all the other Calvary Chapels that have been sitting for years, I mean, let's start with weeks, months, years, and the young guys that are single living together sexually with their girlfriends or going to their house or her house and being intimate and then coming to church, listening to the word of God, and then leaving the church, and they don't understand that the more you come here, the more you listen, the greater the judgment will be upon you until you repent. That's what the Bible teaches. So this woman, first of all, forsakes her husband from the youth and forgets the covenant of her God. And then check this out. For her house leads down to where? To your Bible says death. Put a little parenthesis and put hell. Sheol. The place of the grave, the place of the dead. And her paths, notice, to the dead or Sheol again. And where do we get the picture? From Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, the rich man and Lazarus. Remember? Where the rich man was having a party. He had all these people come over his house. They had recliners, no actual seats. They sit on pillows and they recline on the table. And they were sitting there. eating and drinking, no napkins, no forks, spoons, anything like that. They would have pita bread. So when you would eat with your hands and you were going to take up to clean yourself, you take the pita bread and then you throw it to the dogs in the street or your house pet dog. He would eat it. And the poor man was outside walking the city of Jerusalem. He came up to this party and he was outside of the gate and he was reaching over to the crumbs that were falling and he would pick them up and eat them, and the wild dogs on the street would come up and lick his sores. He was full of sores. He was sick. He had no family. And the Bible says that that night he died outside of the gate. And when the rich man got through with his party, they opened the gate and they probably stepped over him and they walked away, and then he closed the gate and he went up to get ready for bed. But when that poor man died, the Bible tells us when you die, the angels come to get you, believer or non-believer. And when the angels came to get his spirit, they took him and Lazarus went down to hell. Remember, Jesus had not died and rose again. So hell was in the center of the earth. You had two compartments. Sheol was the place of the dead. You had Abraham's bosom, a gulf separating it, and on this side it was hell. And the poor man went over to Abraham's bosom. So that night, the rich man goes up, takes a bath, whatever, gets cleaned up, and gets to bed. He said the next, he says, because he's thinking the week, tomorrow, another party. But that night, it says, he never thought that he was going to die, and he died. And the angels came and took his soul, and they took him down to hell, but this time he got put on the other side. And when he got to hell, what blows me away about that story is that when he was on that side, he looked up with his eyes. Wait a minute, I thought you said he died. He did. But in hell, he could see, he could hear, he could smell, he could taste, and he could touch. All five senses. And it says that when he looked across, he said, Father Abraham. Abraham had been there for 2,000 years. He didn't even know Abraham, but he recognized him. He had the knowledge. Father Abraham, do you think it would be possible for Lazarus? He never knew Lazarus. For Lazarus to come from that side to this side to dip his finger in cold water and put it in my tongue, because I'm burning. I'm burning. And Abraham said, son, I want you to remember one thing, that during your lifetime, you had everything in life. You party hardy. You had it all. And this poor beggar had nothing in life. And now he's being comforted and you are being tormented. And then he said, but Father Abraham, I have five brothers at home and I don't want them to come to this place. And then Abraham said, son, even if someone would go back from the dead, they're not going to believe it. Why did he say that? Because Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. And think of the millions and billions of people that don't believe Jesus Christ today. So we get a beautiful picture here. Look what else he says. Verse 18. Again, her house leads to hell. Verse 19. None who go to her return again. Wow. Why? Because many of them get gonorrhea, they get syphilis, they get AIDS. He'll talk to us later on about that. He says, nor do they regain the path of life. Think of how many have come to know the Lord, how many have backslidden and never returned to the Lord. And if you return to the Lord when you're backslidden, you always come back with what? With condemnation and guilt. And yet God will forgive you. If you really repent and you return to the Lord, he'll reuse you. Because he's a God of love and forgiveness. But you're going to reap to your sin. Just like when you sow bad seed and you come to the Lord, you start sowing, keep sowing and watering. Sooner or later, the bad seed is going to turn into good seed. But it takes time. It takes time. So here he says, verse 19 again, none who go down to her return, neither they regain the path of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the path of righteousness. And then he says this, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. Who's that? The spiritual people. Those that are obedient to the word of God. Then he says this, but the wicked, check this out, will be cut off from the earth. Will be cut off from the earth. And the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Wow. So there is a heaven. There is a hell. the righteous and the wicked or unrighteous. And it's all up to you to make the decision. Not like Saul. When Samuel came to Saul, he says, what's the bleeding of the sheep behind you? Because God told him, Saul, I want you to go and kill the Amalekites. He said, yes, sir, I'll do that. He went, and when he got there, he compromised. He spared the women. He spared the children. He took the best of the offerings of the animals. And when he was coming back and Samuel confronted him, he says, what's that that I hear behind you? The bleeding of the sheep. He said, well, by the way, it was the people that did it. He blamed on the people instead of saying, I did it. I repent. He started making excuses, which led him to what? To finally God departing from him, evil spirit coming into him. And when God no longer was speaking to him, where did he go? 1 Samuel 28. He went to the witch of Endor. And when he came to the witch of Endor, he himself, according to the word of God, every witch, every palm reader, every Ouija board reader, whatever it is with the cults or stargazer, they were supposed to be put to death. God doesn't put up with that. In the Old Testament, he says, no way. And in the New too. And what's incredible is when he came to the witch of Endor, he came disguised. And so she says, come on in. And she says, I want you to bring up Samuel for me. Samuel had died. So she went through this whole little thing, you know, of witchcraft. And Samuel popped up from Sheol. And all of a sudden, Samuel says to Saul, Saul, why are you bugging me? He says, I came up here because the Lord told me to come up here. And only one reason is God told me that you're going to die tomorrow and you're going to end up in hell. And the witch of Endor thought, wow, you're King Saul. I can't believe it. And imagine the next day he and Jonathan was an amazing person. Man, David loved Jonathan. Jonathan loved David. That Jonathan and Saul were in the battle against, think about it, with the Philistines. And then all of a sudden, they got killed. Well, actually, Jonathan got killed, and Saul got wounded real bad. 1 Samuel 15, the Amalekites, remember? The type of the flesh? When he was laying on the ground, there was an Amalekite servant. He says, I want you to run me through, kill me. Because if they capture me, they're going to torture me. And that Amalekite picked up the spear, and he killed them. What did Jesus say? And what did the Old Testament say? If you don't reckon the old man to be dead. If you don't take care of your fleshly problems, your flesh will take over your life and kill you. That's why it says, holiness unto the Lord. No one shall ever see God apart from holiness.
We hope you've been encouraged by today's assurance that the Lord is quick to guide when you seek His direction and faithful to redirect you when you stray from His instruction. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review the message you've just heard, call us at 800-634-9165 and we'll send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you make your request, simply ask for Raul's teaching from Proverbs chapter 2. As you ponder the importance of seeking God's perfect will, we'd like to offer you a new audio pack simply titled Wisdom. Available now in your choice of CDs or an MP3 thumb drive, this collection of four messages from Raul will help you learn to differentiate between worldly reasoning and biblical truth as you listen for God's voice in your decision-making. You'll also discover the blessings that come from surrendering your own ideals to obey the Lord. Contact us to purchase Raul's four-message wisdom series on either CD or an MP3 flash drive. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this series in your preferred format for a gift of $19 or more. That's 800-634-9165. Or write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also provide several free scripture-based resources here at Somebody Loves You Radio. You can download all of Rawls' teachings as podcasts using iTunes or Spotify. And our Somebody Loves You app can be downloaded on both iPhones and Androids. In addition to Rawls' messages, this app also features an easy Bible reading plan, a convenient link to our online resource store, and much more. You'll also want to join Rawl on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with guidance for a godly life. Our ongoing mission here is to inspire you on your spiritual journey, well-equipped with the Bible's truth and hope. We welcome your thoughts on how we can best support you. And when you contact us, let us know how we can pray for you as well. This ministry is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from this Proverbs series. You'll be challenged to seek the Lord's wisdom through daily time in the Word of God, keeping its words in the forefront of your heart and mind. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.